This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
The year was 1976. Don't Go Breaking My Heart by a young Elton John was at the top of the charts, and the original Rocky was slugging it out on the big screen.
Meanwhile, Boston was in the midst of one of the most racially charged moments in the city's long history. Anti-busing riots were tearing the city apart. And at Boston City Hall, State Senator Bill Owens said this.
People of color are not safe to come here to Boston, and we're asking people across the country of color to stay away.
Not safe because earlier, Ted Landsmark, a black attorney, had been attacked by a mob of white students, including one named Joseph Rakes, who was armed with an American flag.
A photographer captured that moment, and that picture went on to tarnish the world's view of Boston.
1976. Not so long ago. That was also the year that one of America's oldest civil rights organizations, the National Urban League, last held its annual conference in Boston.
35 years later, the National Urban League is back. The conference kicks off tonight with a keynote address by Marc Morial, president and CEO of the National Urban League. Meghna went down to the Boston Convention Center earlier today to talk with Morial to get his impression of Boston today.
And we started by talking about how the city has changed since the last time the National Urban League held its conference here. One major change is that Boston is now a majority-minority city. So I asked him if that was enough to overcome the city's troubled past.
There's no city that has a perfect state of affairs. Every American city has a set of deep-seated problems that they're trying to overcome. What I look for is there a genuine commitment to progress? Not a community making excuses about its past. Not a community trying to suggest that its past was not that bad. But a community that acknowledges that, yeah, that was Boston then. Things occurred that we're not necessarily proud of. And we are a very different city in the 21st century. That's what I look for. And I also sense, because Darnell Williams very brilliantly conceived of the State of Black Boston event on Monday.
Head of the Urban League,
Eastern Massachusetts, that he wanted to elevate the real concerns of Boston within the context of this convention. So this has not been, let's cheerlead for Boston. This has been, let's cheerlead for Boston with an understanding that Boston still has a lot of work to do and a long way to go.
Well, on that note, I mean, so there was that report that came out that you mentioned, and also the Urban League itself has issued reports about the state of Black and minority America in general. And yeah, a lot of progress has been made, but a lot is yet to be made. Because, for example, on our program just a couple days ago, we talked about how, for example, when you compare apples to apples, let's say, like married households with children, white, versus married households with children, black, that the divide, in a certain way, is as great as
dramatic.
It's ever been.
Well, the truth is, we've released this report this morning, the state of the black middle class, that documents that the Great Recession may have turned the hands of time back 30 years. Mm-hmm. 30 years in terms of income, wealth, and wealth disparities between whites and African Americans, whites and Latinos. So there is no doubt we're at a time of great, great risk for the nation, because so much of what so many people have worked for seems to have eroded. The most important thing while we're in Boston is for us to elevate an understanding that we are losing ground, and that you can't just make excuses about it. And you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. And we're beyond the point where you can suggest that it's just a cyclical downturn. And there's got to be reaffirmation and a recommitment. That's why the National Urban League says the nation needs a jobs plan.
Right.
The debt ceiling is an important vote. But many Americans are not concerned about the debt ceiling. They're concerned about the ceiling over their head.
Well, a lot can be said about things that can be done at the national level in mm-hmm. terms of policy, funding, even just leadership. But, I mean, you were mayor of New Orleans. You know that when the rubber meets the road, it's at the city level.
Mm-hmm.
Education, housing, jobs, support for small businesses, minority-owned small businesses, mm-hmm. things like that. So at the city level, where's the leadership, or what direction do you want to see, would you like to see cities go?
What you want to see mayor's doing, and I think Mayor Menino has been a chance, is to practice and preach inclusion, demonstrate a sense of trying to provide direction and leadership for every neighborhood in Boston. I see a legacy in some cities where people only play to certain communities, and the resources and the infrastructure investments and the attention bypassed whole neighborhoods. And over a period of time, that created a degree of insulation for one set of neighborhoods and isolation for another set, which is very damaging to the concept of the city.
You know, the reason why I ask is because, for example, 35 years ago, when the National Urban League was last here, obviously Boston was a very different place because racism was right at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the city was kind of defined by not just racial tension, but hate.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There were things that you could look at that were very blatantly like, this is wrong because it's racism and it's not what America is all about. But what I wonder about today is, since you don't hear that so much anymore,
it's not explicit.
It's not explicit. So does it make the challenge of protecting the black middle class, of bringing minorities even more fully into the does it make things harder, I guess, is what I'm saying.
What, it means it changes things, because it means people have to be much more attuned to public policy. They have to be much more attuned to the policy of major academic and business institutions. It's no longer a choice to stand on the outside. People have to be fully involved and engaged. It's easy for people to say we don't have signs on the walls, we don't openly practice exclusion, yet they interview for a set of jobs and they consider no people of color seriously. So, you know, it operates, and maybe in some ways it's more difficult for people to get their arms around because it's less visible.
This is kind of a broad-based question, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the past couple of years about how there may be the beginnings of a reverse African-American migration back from the North back to the South. And, you know,
the numbers point to that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what you think about that.
I think it's fascinating, and it means that there's a perception that particularly the cities of the South are not places that practice exclusionary politics and economics. I mean, it's fascinating. I also think people are getting away from harsh winters and also seeking places where the cost of living is less. I think that's also a factor. And the third factor is some people wanting to go back so that they're near their families,
mm-hmm.
or their family roots.
Well, interesting, because those are three things that really can apply here in Boston. Obviously, harsh winters, very high cost of living, especially for families.
But you know what's happened here that's fascinating is that you've become a very important center for immigration from Africa, the Caribbean, East Asia, Latin America, in a very big way, in a way that probably people, I saw numbers on Monday that one-third of black Bostonians are either Caribbean or African immigrants, which is an interesting sort of dynamic that makes Boston's black community perhaps different than the black community of a place like maybe Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
Mr. Morial, thank you so much for
speaking
with
us. Appreciate it.
Mark Morial is the president and CEO of the National Urban League. The annual conference runs until this weekend.